If you're looking for ideas for yourself or others about how to be actively pro-life on a college campus, then join us now for Gospel of Life. This is Reverend Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined again by Janet Morana, our Associate Director. Janet, welcome.
Thank you.
We send our young people to college so that they can learn how to change the world. This is the idealism of youth, and they want to change the world. Surveys have shown more and more that our young people are pro-life. They are rejecting the ethic of pro-choice, which essentially translates into pro-killing of children. And we know now, after decades of Roe versus Wade and legalized abortion and over 40 million babies destroyed by this procedure, that it destroys the whole of society, it damages women. It is just not a solution to anybody's problems. The college campus is important in this arena for a couple of different reasons. It's a population, obviously, where many abortions are occurring in the first place, and also it is a core group of young people who can do something about bringing protection back to the unborn child. So let's talk about being pro-life on a college campus.
You know, as a parent, I can say, first of all, you know, Father, that very often, you know, parents have given their child such a great upbringing. They've raised them pro-life. They have good biblical principles. But then they send them off to college, and many kids are bombarded on a campus where there isn't much going on the life issue. And there's so many people that are talking that abortion's okay. They begin to drift, and they begin to. So we have to talk about, first of all, what do we need to do on a campus to help these kids not drift?
Yes, well, first of all, obviously, the convictions that a person has going in, that's what's going to determine very much the way they come out. Right. The solidity, in other words, of the foundation that they've been given. That's where it comes back to the role of the family right from the beginning. Right. The inculcating the pro-life values and convictions within the family. But then it does come down a lot to different support groups, does it? Because the unfortunate phenomenon of people becoming more pro-abortion as they go through a secular college education is something that is not so much related to the issue itself as it is to being disconnected from familiar and supportive networks of people, whether it's the church or family or pro-life friends that they might have. So finding friends and a church community and reconnecting in a new environment that will reinforce those pro-life convictions is, I would say, one of the critical elements right from the beginning. We have to help our young people to become reconnected with people who are supportive, who are in agreement with them, and who are going to reinforce those convictions.
That's right. And that's why, you know, again, especially for kids who go away to college, you know, it's a whole new environment. And it's very important that they do connect with those support groups, because the very people that they begin to socialize with at that college campus, from their roommate on down, is going to begin to kind of chip away. Even if they've gotten a solid foundation, if they're not connected with some activities on campus, it's going to eventually erode over the years.
Now, I know that on the road in our pro-life work, we get many questions, both from students and parents alike, as to what can they do on the campus to influence their fellow students to become or remain pro-life, and then even beyond that, to serve the wider community for the pro-life movement. So let's talk about some of these types of activities. You recently interviewed a young woman by the name of Holly Smith. Tell us about her.
Well, Holly Smith is the Youth Outreach Director for the National Right to Life Committee. They're based in Washington, and she assists students around the country that are interested in getting a pro-life group started on their campus. She'll really help support them through the National Right to Life Committee on how to get that going. And she's helped successively students around the country get small groups going, and believe me, once they start, they do grow.
Well, let's listen to some of the things that Holly said in her recent interview with you.
Well, Holly, I want to thank you for joining us. You know, people ask all the time, what happens to college students? You know, they leave high school. They seem to be come out of a pro-life family. What happens to kids in college? That something happens there. Could you tell us about it?
Well, it's a combination of factors. It's the first time they're away from home, hit with all kinds of different influences. Right. And unfortunately, the atmosphere on college campuses, both from the administration and more influentially academia, the professors are just so overwhelmingly pro-abortion that it's something that basically has tainted the water on campuses, where it's something that it's acceptable to be pro-abortion, it's literate, it's academic to be pro-abortion, and the stereotypes many have of pro-lifers is something that's reinforced on college campuses.
What are the percentages, would you say, of women especially that enter college, they consider themselves pro-life, come out? What are the kind of numbers on that?
Actually, Gallup did a poll. The most recent numbers I've seen on their poll in 1997, they showed that going into college, women were 37% pro-abortion, over 50% pro-life. But by the time they graduated, the number of women that identified themselves as pro-choice or pro-abortion was all the way up to 73%. Were pro-abortion when they graduated, all the way up from 37% years before.
It was a big shift.
It's a huge shift, and it's no wonder with the atmosphere on college campuses. This is an atmosphere where they're talking about not personal responsibility, but independence and letting your wings fly. And women, without the safety net of their home, of their church groups, of their own friends that share their values, are kind of thrown out there. There are a lot of, unfortunately, college campuses that reinforce abortion mentality. Their health centers give referrals for abortions or just simply to Planned Parenthood, where we know 9 out of 10 women that go in there pregnant come out post-abortive. You know, a lot of campus health plans will provide insurance coverage for abortions, but not for prenatal care.
Right.
So a lot of women feel like they don't even have a choice on a college campus. It's either my education or my child, and they're not thinking about their child.
Right. Suppose someone's listening to us and they say, you know what, I'm a college student, I'm on campus, there's nothing going on here, but I'm just one person. Mm. How can they get connected? How can they begin to make a change and kind of get a pro-life group started on their campus?
I know that feeling well because I went to school in Seattle, and I certainly felt like a voice crying out in the wilderness. First of all, you're not alone. The most recent poll this spring, Gallup showed that 51.6% of 18 to 29-year-olds identify themselves as pro-life. The numbers get much bigger when you're talking about after a heartbeat is present or after brain waves are present. They jump into the 60s and 70 percentiles of 18 to 29-year-olds. So you're not alone, but it certainly feels like that in a college campus. It's hard to speak up. There are resources. It's important to start a group on your college campus, or even prior to that, just start talking about the issue. The most common reaction I got on my campus in Seattle was, you're pro-life, but you seem so normal. You know, we see you playing sports. We sit next to you in class. I had a professor say, but you seem so intelligent and you know,
pro-lifers are in this stereotype of being not so smart, radical, crazy.
Exactly.
And so you were saying, hey, I'm normal and I'm pro-life.
And what it does is it takes them off the defensive, and so the question isn't how can you be anti-choice. The follow-up question was, well, why are you pro-life? Because they identified with me in so many other ways, they wanted to know how we could be so different.
Right. So if a student is listening to us now and they want to start the pro-life group, how can they get a hold of you? Maybe it sounds to me like you could help them.
Absolutely. We have manuals. We have tons of materials we send out free of charge to college students. We want to get the information in the hands of the students. You can email me at students@nrlc.org. NRLC stands for National Right to Life Committee. You can also go to the National Right to Life website, and there's a link to the National College Students for Life website from the National Right to Life website, and it has tons of information, too.
Well, she's certainly eager, enthusiastic, ready to help, as you said, students throughout the country. There are other organizations, too, that are promoting campus pro-life activity. And so, for example, the American Collegians for Life is another national organization. They have representatives on many campuses. They have a national conference each year, and usually in Washington in January, around the time of the March for Life. And there are other groups as well. In short, people can come to us at Gospel of Life, our website, gospelof.com, and find out the various kinds of national organizations that students on a particular campus can connect with in order to foster this type of activity.
That's right. And we're talking about all kinds of activities, from bringing in a pro-life speaker on campus. You know, like you said, contact Gospel of Life, and then we'll connect them with all the resources that are out there to get things happening on campus.
You know, speaking of inviting speakers onto campus, and of course, many campus groups would be given the forum to do something like that. It's a common campus activity. This ties in very much with what we do with the Silent No More Awareness campaign, doesn't it? Because there are a few things more powerful for a student to listen to, than for anyone to listen to, for that matter, than the voice of experience. Okay, if somebody who's had an abortion and who says, "My life has been devastated by this," because what that does is it you know, people cannot argue with someone's experience. It comes right against this notion that somehow abortion is a benefit for women.
That's right. Well, just recently, you know, we had one of those events at a campus in Florida, in Gainesville, and that's what we did. We brought the women of the Silent No More Awareness campaign, the students. There was just one student, actually, who organized the event. That's all you need to be is one student. She got the permission of a site out on the campus where the kids would come across this demonstration or witnessing going to and from classes. We brought in the women, and some of them were from the surrounding community who have experienced abortion, who are willing to give a testimony. They stood with their signs right there on campus with a little loudspeaker there, and they told their stories when their son said, "I regret my abortion." It was powerful, because now here there were men and women going to and from classes, stopping and listening to the damage abortion did to these women's lives. And some of them really changed. They were no longer considered themselves pro-choice when they realize the damage abortion is doing to women.
Well, the actress and model Jennifer O'Neill is a national spokesperson for this campaign. She always says, experience overrides theory.
That's right.
And what's happening on a lot of these campuses, they're getting pro-choice theory. You know, the theory that this is about freedom of choice. The theory that this is a solution to problem. The theory that this is a constitutional right. Meanwhile, the experience says, it crushed me, it tore me apart, it depressed me, and it solved nothing.
And they can contact, you know, me at Gospel of Life, and I'll be happy to help them get one of these events on their campus.
Because you have
a whole network
of women will
exactly
share the experience. We also have a network of former abortionists.
That's right.
And that is another powerful thing on campuses. We think, for example, of Tony Levitino, who's been on our program
right
at Gospel of Life, and who will stand up in front of a student body and will say, "I once took forceps, and I inserted those forceps into a woman's uterus, and I grabbed an arm or a leg of a baby, and I twisted it, and I pulled it out, and I did that, and I was a murderer." And he'll talk about how he converted.
That's right.
And how he became pro-life. And
right,
he's both a doctor and a lawyer. And there are others in the very same situation who have made this incredible journey from having killed babies to now trying to save them. For students to hear that kind of direct personal testimony is a fabulous, powerful thing to do on campus.
That's right. And then in addition to speakers, you know, we have a lot of educational resources that we can help. Just an individual student who says, you know what, the kids just in my dorm, you know, in my roommate on down, they're just not where they need to be on the issue. We have a wonderful newspaper called lovematters.com. They can contact us at Gospel of Life, and we will make sure that they get that newspaper to distribute on campus. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, they can just contact us and get a few hundred copies at a time. Keep them in your room, and every time there's an event or something, just begin to get them out there. This newspaper has actresses and famous people who, some of them are post-abortive, some of them are leading lives of abstinence, and they're talking about abstinence and how this is a groundswell of youth are now supporting the abstinence message, and this is a good tool to help them deliver that
hundreds
message.
Hundreds of thousands of these lovematters.com newspapers have been distributed on campuses
right
nationwide, and as you say, they contain the power of testimonies, like we were just saying, the power of information, basic facts about abortion,
right,
answers to some of the common arguments, and so forth. Let's talk about a couple of other practical dimensions of pro-life activities on campus. First of all, one of the first things a student needs to do in coming onto a campus and wanting to do pro-life activities is find out first what is already going on. You have to get the lay of the land and find out who are your friends, who are your allies among the student body. And if you find even just one or two other students that you get to know who are strongly pro-life along with you, you want to start getting together like that. Find out who your friends are among the student body, and find out who your friends are on the faculty.
That's right.
This is very important. You're going to need a faculty or administrative person on your side here, because it might involve, each campus has its rules about starting student groups or student groups that have already been started and what they can do and how they can do it. But besides the rules, then you're also going to have, your enemies who are going to, this might be permitted by the rules, but I don't like this kind of activity. You're going to have to know whom you can go to on the faculty to get some support and encouragement. You want to learn and find that out as soon as you can. Best way is, has there been a student group on campus already? If so, talk with the people who have been or are involved in that group. Find out what the needs are, what the challenges have been, and then you move forward from there.
No, I mean, you might want to start with the chaplain or the youth minister, but don't just stop there, because sometimes they're not so in favor of,
unfortunately,
having a pro-life group on
campus.
Yeah,
don't expect anything. Don't assume anything.
That's
about
right.
That, because otherwise you may be disappointed, but don't be. There are people in these positions who are, they're supposed to be hypothetically Christian and unfortunately take a pro-abortion position. You're looking for the people who really get it, who are really on board with you on this issue.
That's right. And, also, too, they need to reach out to the surrounding community that's located right near their college, because very often there's a pro-life group that's nearby
that would love to come on campus
and help and
exactly.
assist. They've probably been wishing and praying for a pro-life group to get started.
Well, let's talk about how they would find these groups. We talked about Holly Smith,
right,
from whom we heard. Now, she gave an email, students@nrlc.org.
Right.
Here's what a student can do. If you email Holly at students@nrlc.org, ask this question. Say, here's the university that I'm attending. Is there a local Right to Life group in this community? And if so, who's the contact person? Again, like you're saying, you're extending beyond the boundaries of the campus to find friends and allies in the community. They'll be able to tell you more about the history of the pro-life movement in that area and what resources are available. They'll also be able to bring to the campus educational materials. They'll also be able to tell you about the activities they're doing in that community that can benefit from the help of students that might want to volunteer some time for that. Because one of the greatest pro-life activities on a campus is simply recruiting volunteers to help in the pro-life activities of that local community. Let's take, for example, the Life Chain that occurs certainly every October, but some communities do it every month. Well, if a local community is going to have a Life Chain on a Sunday afternoon for 1 hour, where people are going to stand on the streets holding signs about abortion, a local college campus is a great source of participants for that Life Chain that otherwise the local pro-life group might not know how to find. If you, as a pro-life student, reach out to that local group, then you make that connection, you can recruit your friends and come and join and support those activities. So campus pro-life activities don't have to be just on campus.
Right.
Think about it as being in the wider community.
That's right. And very often, if they participate in a Life Chain in their community, that might give them the encouragement and excitement to say, hey, we could have then a Life Chain on campus.
Well, because if you help the local pro-life group, the local pro-life group is going to help you.
That's right. So they really should be in touch with Holly if they want to really see about getting this done on campus. But the other thing, Father, they really need to find out, where is the local crisis pregnancy center to their college campus? And they can find that information by a simple toll-free number, which is 800-395-HELP. And that number will tell them, based on where their college is, what is the closest crisis pregnancy center. And they want to know that for a couple of reasons. First of all, if they hear of any girl on their campus pregnant and in need, if there's no resources to help on campus, they have to know where to reach out to that girl and send her there. But then the other point is, they should go to that crisis pregnancy center and maybe see, I'm a pro-life student, I was raised a Christian, I don't want to see girls have abortion. How can I help you, the local crisis pregnancy center, to help get better known here on our campus. Yes. And they, I'm sure, will be thrilled to hear from the student.
Well, two things can happen. The Crisis Pregnancy Center can have an open house specifically for students and faculty from that campus. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
That'd
be
wonderful.
I think they would be delighted to do that. You could take a few days and schedule several of these open houses, some in the daytime hours, some at night, to accommodate people's different classroom schedules. But have the local pregnancy center invite the campus to come see the kind of services they have, especially those who are involved in guidance counseling of any type or campus ministry on that campus should know about the services that are in the local neighborhood. But again, students should never assume that they do know that.
Well,
be a bridge builder. Make those connections.
That's right. See, because very often Planned Parenthood, they sometimes have even a clinic right on campus.
Well,
and what they're doing is they're basically like snatching these girls and basically sending them to the abortion clinic, and nobody is helping refer the girls to the crisis pregnancy
center.
Well,
and a lot of students think that because their group is called Planned Parenthood, that they're somehow interested in parenthood. No, they're interested in ending
abortion,
parenthood
right.
by abortion, the largest abortion providers in the nation. But the point is that just as they come on campus, one of the most important things for pro-life students to do is make sure those pregnancy resource centers that are providing real choices and that are affirming life also get onto the campus, display their materials, offer and describe their services. But this is really what we're talking here about is really the first and most important core principle, if you will, of campus pro-life activism, and that is we start by trying to end the killing on our own campus.
That's right.
That's, in other words, you want to be a pro-life presence on campus, stop the killing that's going on there. And one of the important ways to stop the killing of children by students who happen to get pregnant is to ask, what is the policy on this campus regarding pregnancy? Mm-hmm. That's a very important question. Students, if you go to you enroll in the university, you get a handbook of the rules and regulations. Read it and find out what if any is the policy about what happens when a student gets pregnant. And what you have to ask is, does this policy favor childbirth, or is it crafted in such a way that punishes students that end up keeping their child alive during the pregnancy? Because if the policy is such that it ends up discouraging or punishing students who get pregnant, or in effect forcing them to have to choose between their child and their education, that policy is not right. And that needs to be changed. And one of the things that can be done then is making other students aware of the problems with that policy and then beginning to work for change.
If they find that there is a bad policy and they just don't know where to get started, they should be in touch with us, because we know groups all over the country that will step in both in legal ways to help them change those policies. You don't have to just, if the policy is bad, just say, oh, now what am I going to do? Contact us at Gospel Life and we'll help them put people in touch with them that can help.
Now, another arena for campus pro-life activities is pretty obvious. You're there on the campus to study.
That's right.
You're there. A university is a place where research is done, academic pursuits are followed. And the pro-life topic provides a wealth of avenues for further research. What we were saying a moment ago about how abortion harms women. I mean, there is an abundance of research that has been done and needs to be continued in this particular area. What I'm saying here is, whether it's the harm abortion does to women or the medical or social aspects of abortion or the history of abortion or the legalities of it, any of these areas provide subjects that students can research in the midst of the courses they already have. I'm not talking about necessarily additional research, although obviously people are always free to do that. But I'm talking about finding ways and strategizing with other students to come up with ways to incorporate the pro-life message into the studies that they already have to do, into the research papers that they're already going to spend time writing. Find ways to incorporate. So, for example, if you have a course that has anything to do with American history and law, for example, and you have a freedom to choose a research topic, then do research on the history of the abortion laws in our country. If you have a sociology class,
do some research on the sociology of abortion, or if you have a political science class, you know, the politics of abortion. That's a big political topic, as we just saw again in this recent election that we had. Over and over again, if you think about it carefully enough, you can find ways that you can even then recommend to faculty or to other students ways to learn about the pro-life issue by doing the kind of research you're going to have to do anyway for your courses.
That's right. Now, that happened recently for one of my daughters in a law class. They were talking about different types of cases, and she brought up the Roe v. Wade case and then got that assigned as her assignment. And then she really opened the eyes of a lot of her other students because they had no idea that there was a separate case decided on the same day, Doe v. Bolton, that really changed Roe v. Wade to expand it through all 9 months of pregnancy, any circumstances whatsoever. So there are a lot of opportunities within the curriculum that you can kind of springboard off into a pro-life discussion.
People will find also on our website, gospelofliferadio.com, the fact that there are many other groups that can be invited onto campus. Feminists for Life have a very good campus outreach activity where they come and make the feminist case for abortion, because the early feminists in this country were all pro-life. They said you can't devalue the life of a woman, neither should women devalue the life of their children. So Feminists for Life will come on campus. And then there's also the Genocide Awareness Project, our friends at the Center for Bioethical Reform, on whose board I also serve, bring onto campus gigantic displays showing pictures of aborted babies. You want to stir up a campus and get discussion going on abortion for months, that's a project to do. And we'll give you information on how to do it.
That's right. You know, with that thing, they don't have to do that whole demonstration. They just have to be the student to sponsor it. And the GAP project, they'll come on and do all
and
the work.
Do the work.
That's
well,
right.
Thanks, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us at Gospel of Life. Our students are our future, and they are so often members of our own families. Let's share with them some of this information. You have someone who's away at college, tell them about the things we've said today, direct them to our Gospel of Life website, and let's help our young people today be a voice and a force for rebuilding a culture of life here in America and throughout the world. And let's pray for each other. Let's pray for an end to the tragedy of abortion. This is Father Frank Pavone, Gospel of Life Ministries. Join us next time.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, Executive Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Father Frank Pavone, Janet Moran, and I want to personally invite you to be a strategic part of this new, exciting, and challenging work. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The objective of Gospel of Life Ministries is to reach out to all Christians of all denominations and churches to bring them together in practical ways to proclaim the Gospel of Life and to build a culture of life. If you are a committed Christian, a pastor, Sunday school teacher, church leader, pro-life volunteer, if you have a burden to see believers cooperate together, we'd like to hear from you. To obtain our resources, contact us at Gospel of Life Ministries, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306. Call us at 718-980-4400 and visit us at www.gospelofliferadio.net.